As we celebrate our 50-year connection with Albury in New South Wales, Australia, the first question that springs to mind is, how did it all start? Mrs. Kathleen Merritt, who lives in Church Lane, remembers it well.
Well, in 1947, Miss Kemp, who was one of the teachers at Albury School, arranged with a Miss Hattersley from a school in Albury, New South Wales, for the children to write to one another as pen friends. And my son Tim, then, who was seven, wrote to a boy called Russell Schofield in Albury. And they wrote to one another a few times, but it sort of petered out, you know. They didn't seem to have much sort of interest to one another. But meanwhile, as rationing was still in force, Russell's mother very kindly sent me some woolly jerseys for Tim and also some dried fruit, which was very, very welcome. It was, as I say, rationing was still in force. And of course I wrote and thanked her. And that started the correspondence. We wrote to one another, and she sent Christmas presents, and I sent little Christmas presents out to Albury. And so we've been writing to one another ever since, which is, of course, 50 years this year.
So what did these two ladies living on different sides of the world have to say to each other?
Well, she wanted to know all about the English countryside. And I used to tell her the sort of things that the children did. You know, used to like to go out playing in the fields and woods. And used to told her about various things, what I did in the previous years and where I've worked and where my home was. And it was just sort of developed into general sort of family news we used to write. We always wrote at Christmas, and about once or twice during the year we would write to one another. And I sent her a photograph of which had been taken, which was in the paper, an aerial photograph of Albury. So I sent that to them, which I thought would give them a good idea of what, and mark the place where our house was so that they knew exactly, and the road the children took to school up through the woods to what they called the Warren. And it was general, you know, over the years, it, just a general sort of family letter we sent to one another. In 1950, I suddenly had a letter from London to say that it was Miss Hattersley. She'd come to England for the first time and she would like to come down and see me, as I was the mother of the boy that had been writing to Russell. She was absolutely thrilled. She couldn't get over the English countryside, she thought was absolutely beautiful. And I took her up through the park to show her the old church, which she thought was beautiful. And it's astounded me, because of all the marvelous trees that are up in the park, she knew them all. I mean, I knew the usual ones, like chestnut trees and beech trees and holly bushes and all the rest of it, but she knew all the most extraordinary names, you know, for the lovely trees that are up in the park. And we took her up through Weston Wood when the bluebells were out, and she remembers, she stood there. Oh, she said, I've never seen anything so beautiful. She was absolutely enchanted. I said, well, you must have had lots of lovely views, the lovely flowers and that in Australia. She said, but no, I've never seen anything as beautiful as this.
In 1952, another connection was made with Australia, when out of the blue came an invitation from the BBC World Service to take part in a series of programmes to be called Namesake Towns. Representing Albury were Miss Helen Lloyd, the chairman of the parish council, Mr. Jim Miles, the village butcher, and Mrs. Wynne Brown from the Women's Institute. Mrs. Brown remembers the journey to London on a snowy day in February and their initiation into the mysteries of broadcasting as it was in 1952, and in particular, the voice test.
Mr. Miles and I got by, but Miss Lloyd's voice, I think the word they used, spread, and so she had screens leading to this very large mic which stood in the middle of the table, and we sat round, and so she had they sort of channeled her voice towards it, because words that Miss Lloyd used, like actually, they spread rather a lot. But Jack Miles and I, we were all right, and Jack Miles particularly, they liked his voice because he had a nice country voice. Could have been a Surrey voice if there was such a thing, which I believe there is, but he had a nice, he was asked a question about sport and he answered it because he was the man of the party, and apparently Albury, New South Wales had a wonderful arena, very large and held 15,000 people or something, and he explained this to us, and I remember Mr. Miles leaned forward and said, well, we don't have anything as grand as that, but we do have a wonderful bowling green, one of the best in the southeast England, and we have a wonderful cricket club and pitch on our open Albury Heath, of course, it belongs to the cricket club, and he told them all about that very, very nicely, and most of the questions they asked were to do with the village. They seemed very interested in Albury as a village, because they had a population, I believe, somewhere around about, I think towards the thousands in Albury, Australia, and we at the time were less than, I think I'm right in saying we weren't probably many more than just over 1,000. So the contrasts were enormous between the two namesakes. But, and they explained about the forest fires which were raging at the back of them. And they asked a lot of questions about the village. I do remember that. It was to have gone out on this particular February morning. I think we've got the date. Well, anyway, it didn't go out because it wasn't broadcast that morning because King George VI died and all those sort of broadcasts were dropped, I suppose, the time being. It did eventually go out and I don't know quite how it happened, but I had three fan mail letters, we called them, saying, one was from someone who had been taken to Australia, I think it was from Gompshall, when she was 6 weeks old, and of course had never been back to England, and her parents and everyone had gone, and she was delighted, she said, to hear a voice from Surrey, but since she'd never heard one, I suppose it was rather a strange thing to say. But she sent me some seeds, some flower seeds from her garden, which I duly planted. But we laughingly said they went the other way because they went back to Australia, although they never came up in my garden.
It was 40 years on when Mr. Bob Knight, the captain of bells in Albury Church, established a third semi-official contact between the two communities.
They were in touch with me, in fact. Ron Shepherd, the tower captain, wrote to me in July 1989 and said that he was hoping to get bells in his church. He had one bell already, and he persuaded the PCC to fund a ring of bells, another five bells, to make up a ring of six, so that he could do full circle ringing. He was, in fact, an experienced bell ringer. And he was just wrote to me suggesting, as we were Albury and they probably got their name from us, that when his bells were installed, perhaps we could write an article for the Ringers Journal, The Ringing World, comes out every week, by the way, and we could write an article to put in this magazine. So I wrote back and I thought I'd give him a history of Albury, Surrey, which I did, and also I took photographs of the old church and the new church and sent those to him, and also offered to go to the Whitechapel Bell Foundry when they started work, to go and look at his bells and send photographs, and I did that as well. So that was the first contact.
And what was the next contact? What happened when the bells were installed?
Well, the next contact, of course, the bells went to Australia. They were shipped there by the Whitechapel Foundry, and they were installed, and he wrote to me, and he said he'd got his bells installed, and they rung, I think, for the first time at Christmas time. And that would be Christmas 1990. And they rung for the first time at Christmas 1990. And they were all thrilled about it. And of course, the next thing we heard was that they'd had a disastrous fire in the church. And the church was burnt down. He wrote and told me this. The church had burnt down, but the tower was not burnt at all, and the bells were not burnt, and they were still able to ring the bells, so they're overjoyed about that. And he said, sometime, no doubt, they will rebuild the church. And then, of course, they did rebuild the church. And that was several years later by the time they gathered the funds together. But in the meantime, I thought it would be a nice gesture if, with our rather meagre funds, that we sent a donation to them to boost the bell fund, which we did. So we sent $50. And I had a letter back from the treasurer of the restoration fund thanking me very much for our donation. And that was, oh, I suppose, about 3 years ago.
As we know, John Band has recently visited Albury in New South Wales, and over the years there has been no shortage of visitors from Australia to this village. Mrs. Merritt remembers two in particular.
So living as I do near the church, up and down the lane, I've met in the summertime, there are often cars, there are people visiting, and a couple of times, strangely enough, I've spoken to someone and they said, we come from Albury, Australia, they said. And I said, oh, how nice, I write to some friends out there. And they said, oh yes, who's that? And when I said the name, one year said, oh, that's my cousin. And then about a few years afterwards, there was another couple whom I spoke to, and the same thing happened. I said that I had some friends in Albury, Australia, and they said, who were they? And I told them, I went to school with her.
Undoubtedly, the strongest connection between the two communities is demonstrated by the 50-year-long pen friendship of Mrs. Kathleen Merritt and her friend Muriel.
I wrote and told her when I was expecting a baby, and she wrote and said she was too. And strangely enough, I wrote and said I'd had a baby girl and she'd had a baby girl, which they were very pleased because they'd had two boys before. When my husband died, he was ill for 2 years, I'd written to her. And then when he died, I wrote and said that told of his death. And strangely enough, our letters crossed in the post, and she wrote and told me that her husband had died quite suddenly too. So it was strange how over the years our lives sort of ran on similar lines.
But you've never met Muriel?
We've never met, no. And I think, as I say, I lost my son in 1980, and her eldest son Douglas, the one that we met, he died sadly about 3 years ago, so that sort of shared our joys and our happiness and our sadness over the years, which is almost been like a part of the family.
Would you like to meet her?
Oh, I'd love to. I should never be able to do it. You know, years ago I used to think, oh, if I won some money on the pools or something, first thing I'd do to go to Albury, but I don't think I could face the journey now, but I would have loved to have met them.